Watching the tides shift as Europe and the U.S. pull monetary policy in opposite directions. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. In about an hour, we expect to hear a verdict from the European Central Bank. More stimulus is expected, including moving some interest rates further into negative territory, meaning instead of earning a bit of interest, banks pay to have other banks hold their money. This is about thwarting deflation, where people and businesses stop buying stuff because they assume the stuff will only get cheaper if they wait. One good person to talk to ahead of a European Central Bank decision is the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, in London. Morning to you, Andrew.
Good morning, David.
The thought is the European economy needs a little more of a boost here?
Yes, the European Central Bank is particularly concerned about inflation, which it thinks is too low. And yes, I'll say that again, it thinks it's too low. The most recent figure was 0.1%. That obviously reflects energy prices to a significant extent. But even if you take out the volatile food and energy components, you still have inflation that's around or a touch below 1%. And the ECB's target is something close to 2%. So the ECB wants to provide a bit of additional stimulus. It's worried, I think, that if this very low inflation were to persist too long, that it could then undermine the recovery that the Eurozone is experiencing, a recovery that has frankly never been terribly convincing.
Now, the European Central Bank's stance is at a time when the central bank over here, the Fed, is thinking of tightening credit just a little bit, perhaps the week after next. Does this create some kind of global imbalance in a sense?
Well, yes, it does. I mean, and in fact, it already has done so. And that's been reflected in what's been happening to the exchange rate between the euro and the dollar. Higher interest rates in the United States have attracted more capital, or the prospect of higher interest rates in the United States have attracted more funds to go into the into US assets. At the same time, more QE, more quantitative easing in the eurozone has the effect of driving down interest rates across the economy and in financial markets. On this side of the Atlantic, that has tended to make investors want to seek an alternative home. And so some of that money has gone towards the United States. So yes, there are imbalances, and they are, to a degree, those imbalances are being resolved by movements in the exchange rate.
The BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker in London. Thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Traditional rational economics doesn't always capture how we make decisions about our money in the real world. Today, a piece about emotions driving our choices about money as part of our ongoing Brain Drain series with our Wealth and Poverty Desk. Here's a phrase for you: money priming. Being reminded about the concept of money can change our behavior. Marketplace's Caitlin Esch explains.
This is a story about a trigger.
I specialize in the psychology of money.
Kathleen Voss is a marketing professor at the University of Minnesota. 12 years ago, Voss got her first real academic job, which came with a nice salary, and she started noticing subtle changes in her behavior. Like when she moved out of her apartment, she hired professionals.
If you didn't have to ask your friends, why would you?
When she needed a ride to the airport?
Taxis, for sure. Absolutely. Every time. These were instances that I normally would have been calling on others. And you can see that there is a loss there.
A loss of community, she says. Voss wanted to study money's influence on our behaviors, so she turned to Monopoly to test something known as money priming, that is, subtle exposure to the concept of money. In one study, subjects play a quick game of Monopoly. Then a researcher cleans up the game. Sometimes the researcher does a sloppy job.
She cleans the game up partially, but leaves out $4,000 of Monopoly money in varying amounts of bills and colors.
Other times, the researcher does a thorough job, leaving no money on the table. Then the subject fills out a questionnaire, several minutes pass, and eventually they're told the lab is really busy and they need to move to another room. And finally, the moment Voss is waiting for, an undercover research assistant carrying an armload of office supplies passes by.
And she spills a bag of pencils in front of our subject. And the question is, does the subject help her pick up the pencils?
If the subject has been sitting next to $4,000 in Monopoly money, probably not.
When people are reminded of the concept of money, they're not very good at social interactions or social sensitivity, and they prefer to be alone rather than with others.
Vaz and others have done many experiments like this one, and it turns out, Vaz says, reminders of money can also make us work harder.
So if we give them challenging puzzles or just really even sometimes impossible tasks to perform, then they work longer and harder on those tasks than if we're testing people who have not been reminded of money.
Voss says the psychology of money runs deep, and even just a hint of money is enough to trigger a kind of goal-achieving, get-it-done mentality, sometimes at the expense of personal interactions. I'm Caitlin Esch for Marketplace.
And crude oil dipped below $40 a barrel for a time yesterday ahead of a meeting by the oil producers' cartel, OPEC. It's on the docket for tomorrow. Oil's at $40.55 a barrel in New York now. Forecasters expect Middle Eastern producers to keep pumping in their bid for market share. But multiple published reports today say Saudi Arabia is pushing for a bit of a production cut, with Iran opposing that. If that Iranian view wins out, it could mean lower retail gas prices for longer. But Saudi Arabia officially is denying it wants to go lower. From studios at Montclair State University today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.